The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, we're sticking to matters financial now, because if it is time in your life to start saving, have you struggled to get your partner on board, or perhaps they're more of a spender than you are and you're trying to get them to cut back? Well, here to help is columnist with the Irish Independent, Michael Houghton. Michael, you're very welcome. Thank you for being with us today. This can be tricky, can't it?
It's definitely a sensitive topic, you know, and it's one of those ones that can be cold wars in relationships where money isn't even talked about. So trying to bring communication to money can be tricky, to say the least.
In your experience, I mean, we know opposites attract, right? Can you often have a spender and a saver in a relationship?
In almost all cases, you do. In almost all cases. Sometimes you have saver-saver, sometimes you have spender-spender, but in usually all cases, you have one that likes to save more and one that likes to spend more, and you're constantly in battle with that dynamic.
Saver-saver, does that work well? I mean, clearly from a financial point of view, they're going to do really well, perhaps be able to retire early and enjoy it. Is that the ideal?
It depends. I met a 29-year-old couple last week, both savers. They're €200,000 saved. They had their first house purchased.
Incredible.
And they were scared. They couldn't. They were scared to spend anything because they're worried about their job. They're constantly worried about the future. So there's a balance in the whole thing. You know, it's not necessarily the best. I think spender-saver can be really good because you end up kind of complementing each other a little bit. You know, sometimes
so
savers need to spend
more. Go back to your saver-saver. So they're afraid to live their life in the moment, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they were both on good jobs, living in Cork, and they were scared to. They were scared of losing their jobs. That was a major fear. And I pointed out to them, I said, sure, with 200,000 saved, you could live for 10 years on that if you had to, you know, realistically. But they were still scared to kind of make the next step and spend.
And then if you have spender-spender, they're having a great time, but they've got no money.
Exactly. And it's difficult to argue against a spender-spender sometimes, because their argument is that they want to maximize their enjoyment every day, right? And a lot of the time when you see a spender-spender, there's usually something that's happened in their lives that's caused that. So maybe they survived an accident, or maybe they had a child that was sick that survived. And so now their attitude is, let's just go and live and enjoy life. So there's definitely a balance there to be had. You know?
So now let's come to our saver-spender couple. So you have one person who wants to put it all in the bank and save the money for a rainy day, and the other person wants to go to the Bahamas. How do you fix that?
Yeah, so this is where the conversations start to happen. And typically in relationships, this is sort of a compromise that happens to a degree. But one of the things that I definitely recommend is having a monthly money meetup. So get together once a month, sit down and have a non-emotional, relaxed conversation about what you would like to spend this month or in the next 6 months even. Where are you planning? Where's the saving going to? What are you saving for? If you need to spend, what are you looking to spend on? And have a decision point on that. So it's not just a matter of the spender's always spending the money and the saver's looking at the bank statement and going, oh my goodness, where's all this money going? There's an actual conversation around, look, okay, we need to spend some money, but what are we going to spend on? And let's agree to that. We need to save some money. How much are we saving? Are we saving too much? Are we saving the
right amount? Well, for the spender, that might be tricky because they probably can't predict what they're going to spend over a month or certainly over 6 months, because there will be some impulse buying going on, right?
There is. And I think this often, I think the saver is often the villain of a relationship when it comes to that, because you've got the saver who's always going, oh, what are you doing spending that? Why did you buy that and make that impulse purchase? And so there's a degree of the saver feeling like they're always a villain by trying to hold back the spender, if you like. And the spender's going, look, I just want to live my life and enjoy. What's wrong with that? So there's a definite dynamic shift. And I think the longer you're in a relationship, the more you can talk about money and being okay with talking about that, not having a relationship where there's a cold war, that you cannot talk about money at all. You know, there's that sort of attitude that can creep into relationships when there's been conflict about money.
So how much should that couple know about each other's finances, Michael?
And it all depends. Every couple is different. So sometimes I meet couples and they have separate bank accounts and they know nothing about each other's spending and they have a joint bank account for their bills. And that's fine. That's how they get through. Other couples are more transparent. They share a bank account. So there's obviously a lot more conversation that needs to take place when it comes to budgeting and planning that each month.
And what do you recommend is the best strategy?
Yeah, there's no right answer. The main thing is you've had a conversation.
Because it's very stressful, is it not, for the saver to see what the splurger is spending the money on, like even if it is an agreed amount. Because if somebody here getting in touch with us saying that my partner likes to splurge on rubbish from Temu, and they say, thank God for the Temu tax, which we're going to be talking about later, €3 on each item from today. But I fear that will not change their habits for a while yet. So if you had an agreed amount, but you couldn't see what that money was being spent on, if you're the saver, would that be less stressful for you?
I think so. And that's exactly it. So and maybe it's a case of having this splurge fund, right? So you agree that 500 euros each month can go on the splurge, and maybe you have that each, and you'll find the saver doesn't spend it at all, and that's okay. And the spender goes and blows it on the first day, and that's fine. At least it's agreed and there's been a conversation mm-hmm. about it.
You know? And also on the other side of this, you're going to have to come to an arrangement over how much is saved every month. And so that conversation is going to be led, isn't it, by the saver?
It is. And this is where the compromise comes in. And it's hard. It's hard. We've got a cost of living crisis. You know, I've got three kids at home. You know, each day is hard. Each month is hard to get through, to save, to get through. And on savings, the best advice I can give there is whatever you do, save first. As the money comes in, take your percentage, 5%, 10%, whatever you want to save, put that into a savings account first before you do anything else. So at least that's away, and then live off the rest for the rest mm-hmm. of the month.
What happens, or how do you deal with couples who cannot talk about money?
Yeah, and it's more common than you might think, you know, and it definitely is. And there is, it's that cold war, so it's that conversation that's never had. And for many Irish households, I'm from New Zealand originally, but for many Irish households, money was nothing, was something you never talked about growing up.
Mm. Is that different compared to New Zealand?
It's similar. I live in Australia as well. Australia is very, very different. They love to talk about money. But New Zealand and Irish culture is quite similar. So we also wouldn't have talked about a huge amount of money. For us, it was always, we seemed to have it. It was okay. But there was never that conversation about, hey, are we actually okay as a family? So there's definitely that element that still exists today in Irish culture. And I've seen that from my own relationship, from my parents-in-law and how they manage their money and talk about it. And so there is, it's largely a cold war a lot of the time. And that's why I try and encourage people to say, look, just sit down and have a conversation. It's okay mm-hmm. to talk about this in a controlled environment where it's not an emotional thing. You don't do it after somebody's gone and spent a whole lot of money, but sitting down once a month and saying, look, let's have a coffee and go through our spending last month.
So you're recommending, and I've heard couples doing this where they have a regular sort of like a business meeting almost,
yeah.
but you're saying do that every month.
A monthly meeting. Yeah, a month, exactly.
What's on the
meeting.
Agenda?
Yeah, so you might look at what you spent last month. You might look at what expenses you have coming up. You know, so you know it's summer now, so we have holidays coming up. We have back to school expenses creeping in. We have the big C around the corner in 6 months' time to start saving for. So we have all of these expenses coming up. How do we plan for that now so that when they do come up, we're not feeling the pressure? Because these things come up every year, whether we're saving for them or not.
Mm-hmm. You know? And are you reviewing the bank account from last month in that meeting as well?
Ideally.
This is painful. I don't like this conversation.
Yeah, it's scary. And look, tracking expenses, it's one of the boringest things you could ever talk about. We've been tracking our expenses since 2018. I've got data going back months and
in
years,
your house?
In our household, yeah.
Oh my God,
and
you're scaring me.
It's
I say every nightmare.
Yeah.
Every penny down to the last
yeah,
cent.
Yeah, I know when you lose that 5 cent and you've got to put it in the spreadsheet, it's desperate. But it's one of those things where, look, it's good to know where your money's going. That's really the key. It's like money is tied to happiness in many cases. Your spending is tied to happiness. If you're throwing money away on something that isn't actually bringing value to your life, it's good to know that and be able to eliminate that expense from your life.
And also, if you have that buffer, doesn't it remove a lot of worry and concern knowing that if the worst happens, you know, a job goes or somebody gets sick, you have something there to fall back on.
Yeah, financial stress is a massive thing. It's a huge, huge thing. And in relationships in particular, it's one of those things that can lead to so many arguments. And if you can have a little bit saved up, a little bit of an emergency fund, it can just make relationship life and life in general be that much easier.
Okay, this listener tells us that their partner is a huge spender. I'm always trying to curb it, but it makes me feel so cheap. And she makes me feel really guilty about it. But I think it's important for us to have a little savings in case we ever need to fall back on it, as we've just been saying. So the listener wants to know, have you any advice on how I approach it without feeling like the bad guy?
Yeah, it's that villain situation that I talked about earlier. And it's so hard. And look, I'm being there. I'm the saver in my relationship too. So I know exactly what this listener is going through. The trick that I had with my wife was actually to say, look, why don't we set aside some amount of money that we can have as that splurge fund. For my wife, she loves spending on the house, which is absolutely total natural thing. She's very house proud. So we put along a fixed amount of money each month that she can go nuts and spend on the house. And we agreed to save so much a month and have so much she could spend on the house. Mm-hmm. So that was our trick.
But you had to get your head around that, because that probably wasn't comfortable for you to have a splurge fund.
It wasn't. But what was more comfortable was knowing that there was at least a fixed amount and it was agreed, and there was an element of control. For me, the thing that made me upset was the fact that you had planned a month out and suddenly there was 300 euros gone on some new curtains for the home and you hadn't budgeted for that. We hadn't discussed that. So that was, for me, the impulse splurge purchase was the problem. Once we had a fixed amount that was set aside, it didn't matter what was spent. on what it was spent on, but at least it wasn't controlled.
Mm-hmm. Another listener says, my wife has worked up a financial plan, but it's left us with very little spending money. It's good to know that we have a long-term plan, but I also want to enjoy our lives now. How do we work that out?
Yeah, so this is one of these things. Sometimes in life, you're not ready to save, and that's okay. If you've got young kids, maybe a new addition to the family, maybe you're saving for a wedding, saving for a house, all of those sort of things, you're not ready to start worrying about 30 years' time for your pension and savings. That's okay. Be okay with that. But understand that at some point, this needs to start. You need to start thinking about these things. So in this case, if you feel like the plan is a little bit too tight, I would say loosen the purse strings a little bit. Don't be afraid to save a little bit less, but know that your next pay rise, your next bonus, your next pay increase, that's where you can put towards that savings.
All right. It's all about balance. Michael, thank you so much. Fascinating stuff. That is Michael Howden.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.